Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and The Living Spirit, which offer stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and a way to know life in its dual nature, its energetic and physical form, as we are spiritual beings having a physical life. And today I am most delighted to welcome Professor Bruce Olav Solheim, author of Timeless, A Paranormal Personal History, documenting 34 incidences in his own life showing telepathy, telekinesis, ghosts, demons, guardian angels, precognition, near-death experiences, and more. Hello, Professor Solheim, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within to share your very interesting personal journey with the many dimensions of life that are there for us all to engage with if we are open-minded.
Well, exactly, Cheryl. I'm very happy to be here. And oh man, must have been some negative energy that came into my throat right there at that moment, trying to stop me from talking to you. But no, I'm very happy to be here. And I love what you were saying. And I did check out your website, and I just love what you're doing. The idea of healing, and it's what we're all trying to do. Really, it comes down to that. You know, you get these gifts for a reason.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
The reason is to help our fellow human beings and creatures and, you know, the animals of the earth.
And yes, and you and I are both sensitive to energy, and my throat chakra is very often affected by that too, like you
mm-hmm.
say. So that's good. It alerts us to just be more aligned to our true alignment to spiritual energy that surrounds and protects us. Bruce, you know, listeners of Healing From Within are well aware that my guests and I share intimate experiences and insights because we're exploring the duality of life, which is really not a duality. It only appears that we're separate from this alignment to our higher energetic force. But our ego-based reality sometimes takes us away from that natural state of connectedness. So an understanding of energy, quantum physics, science, spirituality, afterlife, and psychic potential all lead us back to our original state of its entirety as spiritual beings having a physical life. In today's episode, Bruce Olav Solheim, who holds a doctoral degree and is a former Fulbright scholar and professor who has waited until retirement to write this book, since often many professional academic people are often afraid of destroying their reputations and careers by even considering that there is such a thing as the paranormal or PSI, psi, much less writing about it from a personal perspective. And we will share events today that may assure you that there is life beyond this one, and we are indeed timeless or eternal. Bruce, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, an event that may have shown them something that might be a clue to the work or lifestyle they would pursue as an adult. Because I believe we're born with the whole package within us
of
our life journey. So think back for a minute.
Yeah, well, I think what with me, it's always been my mother, you know, since she was very psychic herself, although she wasn't a practicing psychic. She was very psychic. And so she was always very accepting of my different way of seeing the world and seeing things that other people thought weren't there and things like that. And I think the first experience where I really knew was age four. And I start off my first book, Timeless, with a story of an angelic experience in northern Norway. My parents are from northern Norway, a remote island 200 miles above the Arctic Circle. And when I was 4 years old, we were visiting my grandmother, and I got very sick very suddenly. It was winter time, and I came home to my grandmother's house, and I was rapidly deteriorating. I was having trouble moving. I couldn't turn my head from side to side. My neck was totally stiff. And my grandmother had me lie down in this little bed she had in the kitchen, and because she liked to rest between about, you know, cooking, all the cooking and baking she did. And I was lying down there, and I just kept getting sicker and fever, and my mother and my grandmother were there. And there's no hospitals around. It's, you'd have to go to a different island to get to a hospital. So we had neighbors or relatives come over and say, oh, this is what happened when my son got polio, or this is what happened, you know, all these grim reaper kind of stories.
Yeah.
And my parents were very upset. My grandmother was upset. And I just kind of drifted off with these, you know, crying myself to sleep. And when I woke up, it was there wasn't anybody in the kitchen. They had all gone into the living room. And I saw this bright light up in the ceiling, in between the beams, the ceiling beams in this old farmhouse. And I knew that it was an angelic presence. I just had this feeling. I didn't like see a clear face, you know. I knew it was a spirit. It was just pure light, and the appearance of it was very, very comforting. But more was it just what it made me feel like. I had nothing to worry about. Like I was bathed in this warmth and this light, and I had no worries and no concerns at all. And I fell asleep, and I slept very soundly. And when I woke up, I was completely okay. I was completely okay.
Yeah.
And I told I didn't have any problems or any sickness, any sign of sickness. And my mother, I know, had been praying, and my grandmother had been praying, and they came in and they said it was a miracle, and that was my guardian. I told them what I saw, and they said, that's a guardian angel. And from that moment, I knew what it did is kind of opened the floodgates, opened the doors of perception. So I knew that there was something beyond the physical.
Well,
and even though I was really young, it set in at that point.
Yeah, you were very lucky to have that experience,
yeah,
and also to have people who could explain it to you. You see, I had experiences also as a child, but my family, they were very methodical and scientific and practical, and they didn't entertain this idea of their special daughter who was like me, who was very intuitive and gifted, and you know, so they wanted me to be like ordinary people, just like everyone else, and fit in. So you were very, very lucky to have that. However, let's go to another story that I liked really a lot. You were telling the story of your dad and other men who built a dock and a diving board, and on the 4th of July in 1964, there was a big party down by the lake. You were a boy. And tell that story of what you sensed and felt and how it...
Yeah, that was another experience. That so it was the 4th of July at Sons of Norway Park, north of Seattle, probably about 80 miles north of Seattle. And a beautiful lake setting, and the Sons of Norway bought this property, and we had they built cabins and so forth, and there was a lake part of it. And we were down by the lake, and all of a sudden, one of the Norwegian families started worrying because they couldn't find their little boy, who was probably about my age, maybe a little younger at that time. I was about seven or eight, and maybe a little younger. And so we were all looking. We were looking. You know, there were people getting in rowboats and crossing the lake, you know, and yelling his name. People were looking in the woods. And while all this was going on, I told my mom and my dad, I think he's in the water. And they said, well, there are people looking in the water. They're, you know, they're combing the lake, you know. And I said, no, I think he's in shallow water. I see him in the shallow water. And it kind of freaked, you know, people out. And my mom listened, and somebody overheard me. And I guess it was an older gentleman who had fought in World War II. He was a hero, a war hero. He was in the Norwegian resistance, you know, one of these types. And he went to the shallow part, and he saw something, and he dove in. It was, you know, deep enough to dive. It was like, you know, five or six feet deep. And he came out with the boy, but unfortunately it had been over a half an hour. And he just brought him up to the shore, and I remember everybody gathered around, and I saw that he was kind of bluish, and I knew that I knew right away that, oh, this is what death looks like. But the odd thing was that he looked so peaceful. He didn't look, he
Well,
looked peaceful, and everybody else was agonized and just crying, and I'd never seen that kind of emotion in my life. And as I was looking at him, I started asking my mom questions like, what happens? Does he go to heaven now? And it was, I was asking a lot of questions, and my mom just kind of pulled me aside, and maybe we shouldn't be talking about this in front of all these people. And they were trying to resuscitate him, of course, but it was too late.
Well, you already knew, your soul already knew there was something more, and you couldn't understand the concept of death because you knew that his energy and his memories and everything existed. I was like that too. But I want to say to our listeners, as an intuitive, most people think that people who are very intuitive or psychic can stop certain events from happening. Well, sometimes intuitives get a warning that can help in some way, but the plan is the plan, and what must happen will. So mediums are often picking up parts of the past, present, and sometimes the future because we're energy swirling within this universal force of all life, and some of our energy can be in one dimension, well, some in another. Now, I wanted you to tell that story for a reason. Because I have a sto 'cause I always have coincidences with my very talented special guests, and I have a story similar to the experience you had with the boy who drowned. It was one day years ago when I was already practicing healing and mediumship readings, and I was at the boardwalk by the ocean and meditating. And all of a sudden, there was a young boy's face in swirling water. And he was frightened, and I felt scared also. So I pulled myself out of my meditation, and I had no idea what had just transpired. So I started to walk back down the boardwalk to my car, and I saw helicopters above, and there were many people in the water with ropes attaching them to each other. And I knew they were looking for the boy I had sensed who had, and I knew he had drowned. And I started to cry. And the next day I read about the boy who was an honor student. And I saw the face, picture of the face of the boy I had seen in the newspaper. And while I knew he would be sorely missed by his family, I still knew it was his time. And I kind of hope he saw me at the same time he passed and wasn't so afraid. Because I like to think spirit brings us to people and events where we can help each other. And I've had that experience a few other times where people have passed, and I just thought they were all right, but they were passing at that time. I did hospice work for 8 years, and in all that
Oh,
time, I was
bless
never,
your heart.
thank you, but I was never there when someone passed. I was never there when someone passed, so that I had these other experiences at other times. I can only assume that there was something good in the connection to help that other soul. That's how I like to think about it. So let's go on to tell, yes, what do you want to say?
No, I just it was so nice to have my mother be so understanding and kind of nurture me in my explorations of what most people didn't want to, because schools and even my father, he was very skeptical. He was a practical carpenter immigrant, and my mom was an artist, and she was psychic. And so we had to kind of, she'd give me a little look and a wink, sometimes. And so I know that was something that we shared, and not necessarily something my dad would approve of. And including we would read cards, just a plain deck of playing cards. And I wrote about that experience too, where we would get a pretty good hit rate. I mean, very good. And then at a certain point, my dad would tell us to stop because it made him nervous. It
I
made him
know.
nervous, so
There you
we'd
go.
have,
Fear. Fear of the unknown, a little nervousness. But there will come a time, and we are headed towards it. when we will be able to merge our physical life and our spiritual life, our ego-based reality and our soul-based reality, because that's what we're here, I believe, on the planet to do, to remember this instinct that we're all connected to the same energy, to each other and to eternal life. And yeah, I know. It's hard when we have. I was a skeptical person myself coming out of the training that I had, but in time I had many experiences, and then I opened up to the truth beyond the beliefs and the fears that were taught to me, and to the belief and truth of knowing. When you know within your heart, when you have these experiences, and I believe many of us are having it, not even people who are practicing as intuitive healers or mediums, I believe most people are having it, but they just push it away out of fear that they cannot explain it. Some things can't be explained, but they're real nonetheless. Now let's go on to tell us something of your professional life and what has been the reaction of your academic colleagues and administration at the college to the publication of Timeless and the paranormal course that you teach. I know some probably are okay with it, and others, who knows? So tell us about that.
Well, it's been a very good experience. And really, the book came about a little over 2 years ago when a friend, dear friend of mine, also a Norwegian American, had passed away, and he came to me in a vision after he'd passed away, and told me what it was like in the afterlife, and set me on this. Well, I was already on the course, but not officially on the course, and of my life's work, figuring out, yeah, I'm a teacher, but I found out that this is really what I've been doing all along, and I just didn't recognize it. So he even gave me the name for the book, Timeless, telling me that where he is, there is no past or future. It's all just together. It's all together. And so I wrote the book, and I didn't say anything right away. And then I started telling my class or my colleagues, and I got a very good response. I mean, they were very supportive. In fact, people would come up to me, they'd kind of look around, like see if anybody's looking. They said, "I got to tell you about something that happened to
Oh,
me."
see, it's changing. It's really changing. Oh, that's great.
So they opened up, and then the administration, I wanted to do the course because I knew that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a teacher, and I'm on this path that's going to carry me well beyond my my teaching days. And they were so supportive, which just really surprised me. I don't think anybody's more surprised than me. And then my students showed up. I had 35 the first semester, and they were surprised. They said, "We can't believe the college is offering this course. We've been wanting something like this." And I said, "Well, it's all converging."
Well,
And so
eventually,
they've been very
maybe,
supportive.
yeah, maybe eventually it'll be in schools, yoga teaching and meditation and an understanding of the universal laws of energy, so we re really can deal with life in a better way. Now, tell us about your favorite paranormal experience, or maybe your scariest. I have one here that I liked a lot, but you tell us one of yours.
Well, I'll start with the probably the most well, some of the most wonderful have to do with my mom and dad. And the first time I think my mom came to me after she passed, and she was golden, she was all gold. And she told me that there is a heaven, and it was such a comforting feeling. I mean, I can't even explain it. I mean, I had missed my mom so much, and then it just warmed me from my whole body, my spirit all together. So that's some of the most wonderful things are the communication I have that I've had with my mom and dad. My dad's very silent when he comes to me, kind of like the way he was in life.
Yes.
He's a strong, silent type. He just shows up. He was a physical man, so he's a very physical presence. So those are always the most wonderful. Even some of the ghost experiences have been very, helpful, even the full, manifestation type ghost things. But I'll share probably one of the most scariest, and it's a demonic thing. And before I joined the army, and this was when I was about 19, I guess, almost 20, I was living in my brother's garage, and it was just at the probably one of the lowest points in my life. I was breaking up with my girlfriend and I was treating her badly. I was just being a jerk, you know, basically. And lost. My life was, you know, kind of lost. And I was lying on a mattress on the floor, on this concrete floor, and all of a sudden this fire started coming from the foot of my mattress, you know, just up from the concrete floor, kind of up in like a column, like almost like a column of fire. And then it went over my head in an arc and came, you know, on the other, you know, kind of in an arc over me. And it was like a river of fire, and it was just kept going. And while that was going on, there was this deep kind of booming, growly voice. And I was like paralyzed in fear, you know, of what was going on. I didn't understand what it was saying. I didn't know what was going on. And I just knew it was bad. And I was like pinching myself to make sure, okay, slapping myself, saying, I'm awake. This is really happening. And it could have been 5 minutes. It could have been, you know, a half an hour. I don't know. I lost all track of time. And after it was done, I called my girlfriend, who I'd broken up with, and she was very surprised to hear from me because it was the middle of the night. But she, you know, said, "What are you calling me for?" I said, "Well, this just happened to me, this terrible thing. I can't even explain it." So she said, "Well, come here in the morning and we'll work it out." So she was nice enough to invite me over. So I went there and I explained it to her, and she said, "Well, maybe we should call a psychiatrist. What do you think?" And I said, "Well, you know, maybe just forget it. I'm sure it was a bad dream, you know, but I know it wasn't.
Look,
It was, it was."
Bruce,
Yeah.
you know, I am very grateful that I am surrounded in the divine light of healing and protection. But there are forces, and there are so many levels beyond here of life and experience and places to be or to go. So once in a while, we might have something like that. But when you were telling your other story before about your mother coming in golden, I had a similar story. One day, my husband came home. He misses his mother very much also. And he came home in the car, and I wasn't dressed, and I was talking to a friend on the phone. And I said to, "Oh, I have to run now. I see my husband's coming home, and he has a woman in the car." So I pulled on my pants, and I ran to the door, and he didn't have anyone in the car. But I saw a woman in golden light, a large woman in golden white light sitting next to him, sitting right next to him in the passenger seat. So there are so many amazing things that happen to just remind us that we're okay, whether we're here or whether we're beyond here. We'll still be the same wonderful people with the same experiences, and we will reconnect to people in love, and sometimes maybe people we didn't get along with so well, because there's just more to learn to upping our level of compassion and love for life, just for life. So let's go on to what is your theory or framework of understanding for your paranormal experiences? Now, I know you hope this book will inspire people not to be afraid of the unknown, as I do with my work, and help them connect to a part of themselves. So tell us something else, and then I want to read something you wrote.
Well, this idea, and I have studied a lot of quantum physics too, and you mentioned that earlier. Thank you for mentioning that. And I think that at certain points in our life, and I write about a couple of them, I call them forks in the road of life, where I think we continue on in one path, and in another path we may have died, but and we just it splits at that point. And I think it can do that many, many times, because I think there's multiple reality, you know, multiple universes and multiple dimensions. And so I remember thinking as a kid that this could happen. I remember as a little kid thinking, I wonder if I've already died and I'm living another life. And then but it was kind of complicated for me to kind of figure out. But now I think having studied quantum physics, I kind of understand it a little bit more. But basically, you know, I think that, like you said, there's the physical body and then there's the spiritual body, which is eternal. And I think that when I'm communicating, as when, you know, any of us who are communicating with those that have passed on, we're tapping into that. And like my friend Gene, who inspired the book, I was asking him questions about his spiritual, you know, his spiritual self. And one of the things I noticed was that when I saw a vision of him and I was talking to him, I noticed that he didn't have any shoes on. So I, and it seems kind of silly, you know, but I noticed things like, and I said, "Well, Gene, you don't have any shoes on." And he laughed and he said, "I don't need shoes anymore." And I asked him, I said, "Well, why don't you need shoes?" And he just laughed. And then later I asked him again,
yeah.
And he said, "Because we're light. We're ultimately light. You know, we don't need to touch the ground. You know, we are like
pure
the air.
Light.
We're lighter.
Yeah, we're pure light beings."
And he said, "Besides, I never liked wearing shoes anyway." So I thought it was very funny.
That's great. So
that is the, you know, I think that we do have different versions of ourselves that have gone into, you know, different, you know, when we reach these forks in the road of time, I think that there are different versions of us. And I picture that Gene is, there is a dimension where he is still alive in a physical sense and with his family. So that's kind of how I see it. I've talked to scientists about this stuff, and that, you know, they sometimes, and I talked to one scientist who said that other scientists try to make it too complicated. You know, basically he said that matter vibrates in and out of reality through different dimensions. You know, that's basically what happens. And I'd say, okay, well, that sounds pretty, you know, that's simpler than a lot of the super string theories and other things that I've been reading about. And he said, well, you got to understand there, a lot of them are trying to, you know, get grants and, you know, other things, and they got to come up with the fanciest possible thing that nobody else understands so that they can do that. And,
but
you know,
maybe,
not that I'm at.
Maybe it's simpler than that. You know, the ancient people
yeah.
always lived in a world populated with, you wrote this, both real
yeah.
and ethereal beings.
Yes.
Now we could dismiss this by saying that ancient people were superstitious, uneducated
yeah.
simpletons, or we could honor
yeah.
and learn from our ancestors by trying to understand their world. Well, their world is our world, and spirit is
yeah.
all around us, and life
yeah.
is within us. The energy of this creative force is within us and around us. So there's really, you know, it's good to remember the past, because nothing
yeah.
is really that different. In all the lifetimes we may have, we're really only trying to know our soul and our energy and our light being in a better way. So I want to
yeah.
thank you, Professor
I
Bruce
agree.
Olaf Solheim. Thank you.
Author
thank of
you.
Timeless, for sharing your journey of communication and awareness of spirit and the creative energy of our lives as we awaken to our true potential of infinite possibilities for creating really extraordinary lives once we begin to know we are spiritual beings living a physical life at the moment and are interconnected to all and never truly alone. To enjoy the many paranormal experiences Bruce has lived and to purchase his book, go to BruceOlavSolheim.com and also Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Bruce and I have shared our stories of encounters with souls who accompany us while we are in this physical world and who share their wisdom in often guiding us to discover our innate intuition and connection to eternal source and eternal life. For those of us who have had these amazing experiences, it has led us to find ways that we can help others to know the truth of their being and help them move beyond fear and limitation to find ways to manifest a better personal reality and help the collective community to evolve and find peace, harmony, and balance, especially in these turbulent days of change where fear, anger, and hatred has reared its ugly head. The truth is so amazing, and life is so worth exploring in all its metaphysical and physical aspects. But first, we must realize who we are, where we come from, and why life is worth living. As a medium, I experience and share messages with people seeking a sense of their energetic or soul being, and I feel, sense, hear, and see those in spirit as they reach out to us to let us know they are nearby and supporting our life journey with love and at times protection when they can, and simply want us to remember we are much more than our physical material life. Bruce and I just wish you to be alert, pay attention. Don't always think, but feel, and begin to open your mind and heart to the tremendous world of love and wisdom that surrounds us and wishes us to find greater joy, happiness, truth, prosperity, no matter what challenges or circumstances present themselves to us. Trust we are never alone, and that each life is valuable and important to the well-being of the bigger plan or collective consciousness. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the metaphysical, science, spiritual, religious, psychological, medical, legal, corporate, and indeed all walks of life as they search the realms of possibilities to know, not merely believe, but to know life in its entirety, beyond the mystery to the many realities. Shows can also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvisions7radio.com. Thank you.